Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. This is Pastor Matthew Spencer. Today, I just want to encourage you to continue to live a lifestyle of invitation and doing. Remember, the book of James says that it's the doer of the word who's blessed. You'll be blessed in your doing, not your thinking, not your hoping, not your wishing or dreaming, but your doing. So today, I just encourage you to get out there and do the word.
You know, I want to just for a moment, there's some things I want to just talk about. Is like a lifestyle of invitation, but also a lifestyle of worship. And, you know, I want to encourage you, the flags aren't just for Jewish holidays when we have a special. And the billows, I didn't see them out here today, but the billows aren't just for special occasions. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to just step in and begin to worship the Lord in these new ways. It's just so important that we learn to do that. So it's not just, you have freedom here to worship. Amen? And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Praise the Lord. Also, let me just say this, and this isn't, I just have to be the papa for a minute. Can I do that? I'm going to go back to Poland where I don't have to be the papa. I think I'm at that age, I'm the papa wherever I go, or at least in the thing there. But, you know, I just want to say to you, we just had such an awesome time last night. And I'm so proud of Patty and how she put this together, and proud of Matthew and the staff and all of you who went out of your way to make the workshop work, and then to invite people last night. And you know, we heard a prophetic word this morning, and I believe it's so right, and that is this: when you touch the purpose and counsel of God, and we did last night. And when you touch the purpose and counsel of God, that's why it's God's heart of God's heart of initiation, of invitation to evangelize, because He sent His Son for the lost. And so as you begin to invite people to Christ, invite people to church, invite people to an Acts fellowship, invite people, what happens is that's God's heart, and He begins to work with you. People say, I don't see any miracles. Go, and you'll see the miracles. The miracles are not designed for people who won't do anything. So with that said, I just want to say this. Because you're a member of this church, you are going to get the blessing. Even if you didn't show up last night. I wasn't taking roll. But I know a lot of my church wasn't here. And you know, I think of the day of Pentecost. Jesus said to that 500 up on the mountain. He's at the top, and he said, all right, don't you go anywhere, but you go to Jerusalem, and you wait for the promise of the Father. 500. And how many were waiting for the promise of the Father? 120. And so, I mean, the 380, I have no idea what they were doing. I'm sure some of them had good reasons why they couldn't be there on that Sunday morning. But they missed. I mean, later they got baptized in the Spirit because, I tell you, God was doing a good thing. And you know, but they missed. Can you imagine missing Pentecost when you had inside track? And so I just want to say to you, I understand. Don't feel like I'm rebuking you. I'm just saying, guys, you don't want to miss. That's right. You don't want to miss. And if you do, I understand. So just say, I love my pastor. All right, praise the Lord, and I'm not mad at anybody. I want you to be part of what. See, God's getting ready to do something, and I don't want you to miss it. That's all. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Couple other things. I want to remind you that we are taking the account is open. We're taking gifts and offerings for Jim and Judy Orid's house or a condominium or whatever it is in Hawaii. So please, as the Spirit of God encourages you to give, would you please participate in that? You know, little or big, sow seed. You know, maybe you're believing for a better apartment or a house. Sow some seed, not with the attitude to get, but just say, Lord, I'm going to sow some seed to a brother who's lived and preached the gospel around the world for 40 years, and it's time for him to have a house. What an attitude. Praise the Lord. And then we have something else. Matthew's got confirmed dates now to Nepal. Praise the Lord. So And he's in testing. We're working him up to eat those chilies. And I tell you what, Matthew and I have been eating Serrano chilies. I think you ought to eat a Serrano chili like the Poles drink their vodka. Just one, you know, just put that whole thing in your mouth and go for it. And so Matthew's in training for Nepali food. And so please, we need, you know, to ask that you ask the Lord what you would give for Matthew going to Nepal for a month. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Enough time for him to like it so much he may not come back. Praise the Lord. I can talk to Daniel to set you up. Yeah, you know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. See, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, in Nepal, the dad talks to some other dad, and they arrange marriages there. That's what they do. That's, okay, all right. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I better pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you that the entrance of it brings life, and the entrance of your word changes us. And so, Lord, I pray for ears to hear. I pray for hearts to be receptive. And, Father, we thank you now for meeting with us today in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It did feel funny being in Poland and not preaching anywhere except to Marek. And I just want to say to you, I think it's time that we need to grow tired of religious activity that has no tangible result. My guess is today, all over the world, not just America, all over the world, my guess is that a majority of people go to church just to satisfy a religious, a guilty feeling that they got to go to church rather than connecting on some level with the living God. You know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like trying to cool off with an electric fan that you try and get the blade to go by your own self. And you got this fan in you. You know, and you're trying to get that blade to work and cool you off. That's all religious activity is. And that's what so many people do, is try to get that blade to work on their own. You know what you got to do, friend? You got to plug the fan in. And what we need is we need to get plugged in to the life of the Holy Spirit. And when you get plugged in to the life of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, all the effort is removed from your work and your labor and your struggling and your striving to somehow please God, because you're plugged into His plan. Isn't it good to know that God's grace and His mercy is upon my life? I don't have to be good enough for God to love me. I don't have to work enough for God to be approving of me. I can't give enough money to get God's pat on the back. That is liberating. That is freeing. So quit trying to turn that fan by yourself. How about the farmer who gets up every morning? His wife's observing, and he gets out there, and it's time to till. He doesn't even hook up the plow. He just starts driving back and forth across the field. Then it's time he should be harrowing, you know? Nope, he's just driving that tractor, doesn't cause those harrows to go down and engage the ground. Now it's time to plant seed. He's out there with the seeder, and he's running that seeder back and forth, but he doesn't put any seed into the pits or the buckets. And he's just running that tractor back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then it's time for him to start cultivating the corn crop, and he doesn't do any because there's no corn crop, but he just got that cultivator out there running that tractor back and forth. He would be crazy. He would be certifiable. And yet that's what the church does all the time. Go to prayer meetings. We give our money. We come to church. We do all these things, but there's no connection to the living God. Trying to get us connected, guys, to the living God. See, our pursuit is not a mindless or pointless religious activity. And if you think, oh, look, what are they doing? I don't want to go to another meeting. It's just pointless. It's because you've not connected to the living God. See, we need to know and touch the Savior in such a way that relationship causes us to naturally and passionately serve Christ, naturally and passionately come to church, naturally and passionately invite other people to know the God we've met. I tell you, it is really stupid to come to a building on Sunday morning and raise my hand, unless there's something behind it. Now, can you imagine now this afternoon, tomorrow evening the Broncos are playing. Oh, and I missed the first one with Peyton. Too bad. You know, they don't broadcast Broncos TV in Poland. But you know, if you could just look on a television set of a sports bar, I guess, where people are, you know, have come to watch their team. And if you could just turn that on and you put that in your mind and you see all those people, you know, they're excited, they're eating, they're drinking, they're cheering, they're doing all the things that you do. But if you turn the volume down, what would it look like? What would it be? Can you picture that in your mind? I mean, if the volume's up, you kind of have a connection. You go, oh, yeah, yeah. But if they're... And that's like you coming to church with no connection to Jesus. You see these people going, hallelujah, hallelujah. What are they doing? Well, you see, we had a connection to the living God. And if you get connected to the living God, what will happen is you'll understand that He's not just far off somewhere, but He's a living God who wants to speak to you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to walk with you in the middle of your conflict and trouble, and not only walk with you through it, but deliver you out of it. There's a lot, let me tell you guys, and I'm not picking on any churches. There's a lot of churches today that say, oh, no, if you're sick today, Jesus is there with you, and He'll walk you through it, oh, dear one. And He will. But I tell you what, He doesn't only want to just walk with you through it. He wants to get you out of it. By His stripes, we are healed. He bore my sickness. He carried my pain. If He did it, I don't have to. Well, you know, brother, you're just poor, and God loves the poor person. Yeah, He does love the poor person. But He doesn't want you to stay poor. Oh, okay. Well, you know, in John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said, He said, this is eternal life. He said, this is eternal life. Now, don't put it up there. You mess it up for me. This is eternal life, that you come and listen to a boring preacher on Sunday mornings. This is eternal life, that you give all your money to the poor. This is eternal life, that you waste your Sunday morning when you could be going to the Broncos game. See, that's not what He said. Go ahead and put it up. This is eternal life, that we might know Him, that we might know God, that we might know Him and know the one whom He has sent. And I think it says the only true God. Do you know the only true God? Well, there are many gods, aren't there? At least so-called gods. There's only one God, guys. There's only one Savior. I want to know Jesus today. Well, since Patty and I were in Hawaii, there's just a real heart cry that I have, and I really hope this becomes your heart cry. So some of the stuff I'm going to share with you, you may have heard me say, but I want an encounter with God. And I've had those encounters with the Lord, but I tell you what, I'm hungry for more. And I believe you are as well. And I believe that as a church, we are primed. I believe we're primed to have an encounter with God as a congregation. That's why I don't want you guys to miss meetings. And that's not a legalistic thing. I just don't want you to miss because what God's getting ready to do. Now, in 2 Kings, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It's the story of Elisha. I think I'll start in verse 8. One day Elisha, 2 Kings 4. One day Elisha went from the town of Shunem. And a wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. And after that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. And so she said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, table, chair, and a lamp. And then he'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by." Let me just stop and just ask you. Do you make room for the anointing of God? See, this woman saw that the prophet was coming. She discerned, she recognized he just wasn't a businessman going back and forth, but there was something unusual about him. There was an anointing upon his life. And she said, let's go beyond just inviting him in for a meal. Let's do this. Let's add an addition to our house. See, in the Middle East, that's what you do. Have you ever been to the Middle East? What you'll see is you'll see like a one or two story house. And out of it will come all this rebar sticking out 10, 20 feet tall. I mean, all over. You think, what's that about? Well, what they do is when they're ready to add on or they want to sell it. Isn't that amazing? It's something that they do is they just build up. They build the next story, and then they put more rebar up so somebody else can build another apartment on top. It's the most bizarre thing for our Western way of thinking. And so that's what they've done here, is she's just built another floor on her house in order that the man of God, when he comes by, has a place to stay. Let's build him a small room. Well, one day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to his upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman of Shunem, I want to speak with her." And when she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, now this is interesting. He's up in his room. He sends his servant, or the prophet in training, down to get her. And she comes up, and she's standing there, and he doesn't talk to her. He talks to his junior prophet. "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you've shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" She said, "No. My family takes good care of me." Now, in King James, it talks about this was a woman of means. I mean, she has some wealth. I mean, listen, I haven't had anybody build me an apartment yet. Praise the Lord. You get my point. I mean, she was a person of means. Although we've had the Lord pay off our house supernaturally. I guess that's good. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. So, later, Elisha said to Gehazi, "What shall we? What can we do for her?" And Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." This is one of those arranged marriages. Joseph and Mary, an old man. I tell you what, he wasn't a 21-year-old hunk. He was an older man. You got to think Middle East, or you got to think.
La di da di da di da di da di da di da di da.
Fiddler on the Roof. Remember the first girl, and she was supposed to get married to that big old ugly bearded Harley guy, you know? Oh, you think? Oh, not your little princess. How many of you have seen the movie? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Oh, no. You know, no wonder. You know, thank God there was the Taylor, Motzel, Kamsoil, or whatever his name was. So this is what's happened here. He might have been so old he was impotent before they got married. Well, they didn't have any kids. I'm just calling it like I see it. Hey, well, she doesn't have a son, and her husband's an old man. That means nothing's working. Call her back again, Elisha told him. And when the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." I tell you, you got to be careful. Because when the word of the Lord comes, you've got to receive it. Oh, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said she received the word and held him in her heart. She said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." I tell you what, when you start to get prayed for and someone begins to, the anointing begins to get released onto your life, don't you say, "Oh, I don't feel anything. Nothing ever happens to me. I've had people pray for me before. Nothing ever works for me." It won't. Shut your mouth and receive the word of the Lord. Well, this woman, I tell you, this is interesting. She says, "No, my Lord, oh man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." See, our job as Christians is to get people's hopes up. God can do the impossible for you. God can do the supernatural, the far above for you. He can take you out of the situation you're in today, and he can totally, completely turn it around. And in 9 months' time, you can be holding in your arms the miracle. You can be holding in your jaw, in your arms, whatever it is that's been that dream in your life and heart. God can do it. You got to get that hope built up. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. She kind of reminds me of Sarai, you know, who the Lord, the angel of the Lord, is talking with Abraham, and he says, "Your wife's going to be pregnant. I know you're 100 and she's 90. And Sarai is back over in the tent. Remember, they didn't have walls. They just were fabric in a tent, you know, nomads. And she's over there listening, and she starts laughing. The final joke was on her. Man, glory to God. Well, she became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son. Just as the prophet said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father. So he might have been a little boy, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. Maybe a little older, I don't know. And one day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father and was working with the harvesters. And suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." And his father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and the mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. Now listen and watch what this woman does. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She didn't take him to his bedroom. She didn't take him and lay him on the couch in front of the television. She didn't take him to her bedroom. She took him up the flights of stairs to the man of God's bed and laid him on the man of God's bed. And she shut the door and left him there. How many of you, well, we won't go there. She sent a message to her husband. Send one of the servants and a donkey so I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. So her husband, why are you going today? I mean, this guy's really spiritually in tune, isn't he? He just sent his little boy home, sick. His wife wants to run out to the prophet, and he's going, well, it's not Christmas. Why do you want to go to church? It's not Christmas time. Why do you want to go to church? It's not Easter. Well, come on. Come on. Why do you want to go to church? It's not Sunday morning. Come on. And so she said, chill, it'll be okay. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down until I tell you to. So it must have been more than just a donkey. It must have been a carriage or something. You know, I don't know if they had carriages back then, but something. Because the servant's going with her. And she's telling him, don't slow down unless I tell you. Let's go. So she said, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. And as they approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance, and he said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband and your child? Now, what is the response of the woman? How would you have responded to this woman? Or to the prophet? She says, yeah, everything's fine. Well, is everything fine? No. But you know what? The eye of faith sees beyond the circumstances that you're faced with. She wasn't talking about the natural. She looked beyond the natural to the supernatural. She saw by the eye of faith that circumstances are subject to change, and she understood it will be all right. Listen, if the God who gave her a child when she was childless gave her a child, he can heal the child. So, when she came to the man of God of the mountain, she fell to the ground. Now it gets serious. And she falls to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Friends, when you're in the presence of Jesus, you can pour out your heart. He knows. And she does. She hits the ground. She's now standing in the presence of the anointing, the one who she built the apartment for, the anointing. She made room for this anointing. Now she's at the anointing's feet. You understand what I'm saying? And the good junior prophet begins to push her away. Doesn't that sound like the disciples of Jesus? You know, somebody's crying out, oh, Master, heal me, thou son of David. Thou son of David. And the disciples, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Go away. Go away. I tell you, I hope you're never a disciple like that, telling people, oh, go away. Leave us alone. We're doing spiritual things. I got one word for your spiritual thing. Christians do this all the time. We shut people off. We push people away with our religious junk. Let's not be Christians like that. Let's live a lifestyle of invitation. Let's live a lifestyle that calls people to the Christ that we know. All right. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She's deeply troubled. Now, this surprises me. But the Lord has not told me what it is. I mean, the prophet is surprised that the Lord hasn't told him. We're surprised when the Lord does tell us. He's surprised because the Lord hasn't told him. That tells me Elisha's operating on a new level, isn't he? I mean, he's, you know, Matthew and I are talking about levels, and I think he's getting ready to preach it, so I won't take his fire, but just a little bit. It'll be a teaser like the 9 o'clock news, you know. They give you a little bit. You got to wait for the whole hour before they give you the last thing. And you go, oh, man. You know, so here it is. Did you know Jesus is already on the next level? Do you know Jesus has been made unto me wisdom and sanctification and redemption? Guess what? I don't have to work for the next level. Guess what? I got the next level inside. If I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian, you got something coming that you don't want. You need to know Christ so that, man, that's important. So, this is awesome. But the Lord's not told me. Lord, speak to us. Start speaking. Lord, help change our perception. So, Lord, that we're not surprised when you speak, but we're surprised when you don't tell us what's going on, Lord. Isn't that, I tell you what, guys, get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. And so she said, did I ask you for a son? You know, come on, guys, when you're hurt, when you're angry, you begin to accuse. She's basically saying, this has caused me so much pain, caused me so much hurt, and I didn't ask for a child in the first place. Had I been childless, it would have been better than the pain I'm seeing by my son dead. Are you with me here? She's getting real. I tell you, would you just get real with God? Too many of you are not real with God. You're dancing around. He knows what's in your heart. So anyway, she just lets him have it. And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up and look what's happened. You got my hopes up. I got a child and now he's dead. Oh, Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. I will not throw this mic. I will not throw this mic. Praise the Lord. I'm fine. I just can't run. I have to walk carefully. I'll walk lightly. Carry a big stick. Name that movie. Woo! Okay, praise the Lord. A little bit of elderberry wine. Oh my, okay. Where was I at? Jesus. So, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. These guys, they're so confident in their walk with God. Most of us would have, we got to go. We got to race to the hospital. I've had two or three opportunities in my life. I get a phone call late at night or early in the morning. And I can't say this happens all the time. We get a call and there's a crisis. And the pressure upon you when you're in the ministry is, you got to get there. Well, who's the Savior? Now, see, so then here's the other side. If I don't do that, I gotta get to the hospital. If I don't do that, then people go, you're not a very good pastor because you don't love us. You didn't run out here. Or, because you don't, this congregation doesn't think those kind of things, they think he's not moved by the circumstance. I got a phone call one night. Baby just born. Pastor, baby's not breathing. Pray. Oh, shama God. I see. I begin to pray. On the phone, right there. I went to the hospital. I didn't race. I used that extra time to pray in tongues. Today, the boy's a healthy young man. Another time, I was out shoveling snow, 2-foot snowfall. I heard an ambulance go by, and the Holy Spirit said, that's going to your dad's house. I pray in tongues, doing my walk. You mean you didn't run to your dad's house? No. Patty came out and said, Mark, your dad's had a heart attack. That was an ambulance. I finished the walk. I went inside and had breakfast. That was a hard breakfast. I forced it down. And that was my dad's second heart attack. Went to the hospital and prayed, laid hands on him. Soon after that, he went to Denver. They did some tests on him. They took pictures of his heart from 24 different directions and couldn't find anything wrong, couldn't find evidence of his first heart attack. Well, the prophet, the lady says to the prophet in verse 30, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So the prophet was content to send the word, just like the centurion who Jesus said, wow. He said, oh, Lord, don't come. My servant's sick. My servant's dying. But I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Just speak the word. And Jesus said, oh, man, all of Israel doesn't have faith like this. Your servant's well. That's what the prophet's doing. He's saying, I don't need to go. Servant, you go. Junior prophet, you take my staff where the anointing is. You take it. You lay it on the child's face, and God will raise him up. But the little woman said, no. You prophesied over me that I'd have this boy, and you're not sending the staff. You're not sending the staff or the staff. You're coming. You're coming. Well, and he came. But Gehazi went ahead. And he went ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. I tell you what, that woman's faith was on the prophet coming, the anointing coming. And there was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and said, the child is still dead. Kind of reminds me of the disciples. We couldn't cast this devil out. Then Elisha arrived. The child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. And he went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And he stretched himself out, and the child's body began to grow warm. Oh, man. Some of you have grown cold in your Christian walk. Some of you have grown cold in your Christian life. Some of you have never had an encounter with a living God, eyeball to eyeball. Well, Elisha got up and walked back and forth across the room once. Then came back, stretched himself again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes. Don't worry, I don't have any germs today. And if I did, they're anointed. And then Elijah summoned Gehazi, call the child's mother. And when she came in, Elijah said, here. Elisha said, here, take your son. Oh, and she fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. And she took in her arms, her son in her arms, and carried him downstairs. Now that is an awesome, awesome story of God's restoration, of a miracle, and then God's restoration. Now, friends, I've shared a little bit with you about the aloha of God. And the aloha of God is that face-to-face encounter, that alo, that eyeball to eyeball, that looking in the face of the Master, the face of the Creator, and then the ha, the breath of God entering in and raising and giving life to Adam. And that's exactly what this prophet did with this child who was dead. Eyeball to eyeball, mouth to mouth, ha, breathing the life of God into that child. Some of you who are dead in your sins today need the aloha of God. Some of you who are backslidden today need the aloha of God. You know, aloha has kind of, I would say, devolved into just meaning what we've done and how we've allowed the word shalom to devolve into just meaning hey or just goodbye, or the word peace has devolved into losing its meaning. See, the word peace and salvation means wholeness and completeness. It means deliverance and salvation and safety. And so does the word shalom, means nothing missing, nothing broken. The word aloha means this. It means the breath of life, the life of God breathed into you. I tell you what, you get the breath of God, you'll get healed. You get the breath of God, you'll get an idea for prosperity. You get the breath of God, you'll stop being lazy. You get the breath of God, you'll get over the fear of men and you'll begin to invite other people. You get the breath of God, and it'll change your life. Now, glory to God. Glory to God. We need to understand this. We need to understand this. So Jesus, now with his disciples in John chapter 20, his disciples are hiding. And Jesus enters, says, nothing missing, nothing broken, peace. I mean, these guys are afraid. Jews are looking for him. Not the Jews. Jewish leaders are looking for him. So Jesus shows him his wounds. Friends, it says this. Jesus showed them his wounds, and they were glad. Today, if you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll see the wounds of Jesus. If you see the wounds of Jesus, if you understand the wounds of Jesus, that he bore those wounds for you. He bore those wounds in your place. He bore those wounds so that you could be forgiven. See, he took your place upon the cross. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no way for you to be good enough to get to heaven. You deserve God's judgment because you've sinned and you've failed. And there's not one person in here who can say, I'm perfect. But if you'll see those wounds, and I mean see those wounds, you'll see the wounds in his brow, you'll see the sword-pierced side, you'll see his hands and his feet, you'll see those wounds, and you'll be glad because you'll know that your sin can be forgiven. And once you see that, and I mean, you know, Job said this. He said this, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear. Oh, I've heard of Jesus. I've heard about him dying, and I've heard about his resurrection. Oh, you've just heard about it. But when you see him eye to eye, face to face, when you see his wounds, something will transpire in you. And you'll see he did it for you. And there'll be something rise up there. The first thing that may happen is there may be genuine brokenness and repentance, because you'll see that your sin nailed him to the cross. See, it was your sin that put him there. But he did it because he loved you. Oh, I tell you, you'll see those nail-pierced hands and you'll say, thank you. Thank you. And you too will be glad like the disciples. Now, the disciples, it's just an awesome thing because Jesus, just moments later, oh my, he breathes on them and he says, receive the Spirit. So today, friends, by faith, it's of course by faith, we have to live our lives by faith. We need that aloha of God. We need what the prophet had. We need that face-to-face encountering. And right now, some of you, you might be feeling some agitation in your spirit. Some of you, you're not just sure, but you know that I'm speaking to you. It's like, man, how did he know these things about me today? There's a longing in my heart that somehow Mark's touching. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You're not here today because it's a happenstance. You're here by divine appointment. You're here to hear that the Savior died for you. You're here to hear that God has a great plan for your life if you just believe Him. And you're here today because you need the aloha of God. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to call my prayer team up, and we're going to I tell you what, I'm going to give three kinds of people to come. The first is you may never have received Christ as your personal Savior. You may never have known that Jesus died for you, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day bodily. He conquered death for you. And the Bible says if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that you'll name him Lord, you'll be saved. It's simple. You don't have to work. You don't have to give. You don't have to do. But you do have to do this. You have to confess him as your Savior. You have to believe he died and he rose again. You have to invite him into your heart. So that's the first kind of person that needs to come and receive prayer. The second kind of person that needs to come and receive prayer is a Christian who's backslidden. You're cold like that little boy. Your heart's grown cold. You kind of come to church because you have to. You come to church because it's the thing to do, but you don't really want to be here. Your heart is cold to people. Your heart is cold to God. Your heart is just cold. I tell you what, Christian, this calls for you today, too. You need the aloha breath of God into your life today. And then the third kind of person is this. Oh, that person who's a Christian and you want to be a Christian and you want to serve God, but you're just not sure you're saved. There's just a doubt in your heart, and you're not confident that God is your Father. I want to invite you to come. And our prayer team, I tell you what, these people are the best. God hears their prayers. And I want you to know, on Wednesday night at the service we're having, miracles are beginning to flow, and they'll flow right up here this morning as my brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters, will lay hands on you and pray with you. And you might need to receive Christ. You might need to repent for brokenness or hardness of heart. You just might be doubting and not sure. I tell you what, why don't you come? Prayer team, why don't you come on up here? Just get ready to pray with those who come. We're going to give you a few moments to come. You know, this isn't an invitation to join our church, although this is an awesome church to be a part of because it's a church family and we love God and we love one another and we'll love you. So I'm just going to open it up and say, I know it takes courage, but if you've got a need and you fill it in one of those categories today, just come on up. Maybe you're here with a friend. Just say, would you come with me? We want to pray with you today. Let's bow our heads and just begin to ask God to stir us up. Listen, guys, I know there are people in the house who need to be saved. I know there's people in the house today whose hearts are grown cold. I know there's people in the house today who aren't sure they're saved. Oh, I don't want you to leave here with doubts. I don't want you to leave here unsaved today. Won't you give your heart to Christ today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the most important decision you could ever make. Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you conquered death. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'll have no other gods before you. Lord, come into my life. Maybe you're here today. That invitation stands for those three kinds of people to come. Maybe you've come today. You just need more of God.
you're hungry for the things of the Spirit, come on. Come on. Maybe you need healing today in your body. Come on. Miracle power of God is present today to heal. Come on. Come on, guys. Don't miss an opportunity to receive the anointing of God. Jesus is in the house to heal. Jesus is in the house to release you. Jesus is in the house to deliver you. Come on. Hallelujah. There's an urgency of the Holy Ghost on this meeting for you to come and receive what you have need of today. Oh, Pastor, I've come week after week. Come again.
This has been a Christ Church International podcast. Don't forget to connect with us on the social media and internet. www.intercourt.com is where we hang out. Also, at ICM Fellowship is where we are in the Twittersphere. So, don't forget, we got loads of video blogs, loads of resources that will encourage you and build you up in your faith. And don't forget, Jesus is Lord over your life and over our nation. Jesus is